say amen.
Amen.
If you're not here this morning, say amen. We've come together to worship this morning and praise the Lord for who He is and for what He's done. I don't know if it's summertime or what, but seems like things get a little more calm and quiet during summertime. But we trusted the Lord during the school months. Before school let out, let's trust the Lord during the summertime and praise Him continually throughout the summertime. We've come to celebrate a risen Savior, not a dead one.
Amen.
And He's alive this morning. And so if you have come to worship Him, I'm sure that you'll get a blessing for coming. And I want to say thank you to Brother Allen for standing for us last Sunday morning. And
yes,
tremendous message. Listened and watched on Facebook, and appreciate that, Brother Allen. And I want to say thank you to, the Wednesday night service we had was tremendous. And thank you to Tillman's Corner, First Baptist from Mobile, Alabama. They did an outstanding job. If you weren't here this past Wednesday, I hope you watched on Facebook. But I'll tell you what. You could not captivate on Facebook what took place here on Wednesday. Somebody said one time, watching church on Facebook is like trying to get warmed by a digital fire on your TV screen. You see it, but you can't feel it. I'll tell you what, this past Wednesday night, I know I felt something. I appreciate all those young people standing up singing to Jesus like they did. We need young people for God.
Amen.
We need people my age for God.
Yeah.
We need people to choose which side of the fence they're going to live on and live there. Living in a time, in a day where a lot of people are giving up on the Lord and giving up on church. And we were warned of a falling away. I believe we're living during that time. I'm not going to get into my message just now, but I'm ready to preach. But I did want to say thank you for Tillman's Corner and, of course, the Children's Home, Brother Brian, that coordinated all of that. And I'm guessing they're gone this morning because I don't see them here. And so let's pray for them as they're away ministering this morning. And let's remember, good to see Brother Bobby McClendon with us.
Amen.
And little by little, brother, little by little, he's getting his strength back. But do remember him. In his upcoming appointments, and Ms. Connie Norton as well, with her heart issue, she's at home. Of course, the Palmers, Brother Leonard, and his physical endeavors, continuing to pray for you, brother. Of course, Ms. Claudia, and the list goes on and on. Let's continue to remember each and every person in every life that's on our prayer list, and we'll just remember these folks here. Remember the service tonight, which will be downstairs. And, of course, we're going to continue our downstairs Sunday night time of refreshments and devotion. This will be our summer program. Of course, when school starts back, we'll move back upstairs for a while. And so we just want to remind everyone that it's been a great time down there. We're going to continue that, but we're certainly going to continue it during summer months. And so make plans being with us. We have cookies, we have all the sweets that you can think of, we have refreshments, but most of all we have Jesus to offer you, and there is no supplement or replacement for Him.
Amen.
All right, let's pray this morning. I'll toss it back to Brother Allen. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for all things, God. I pray this morning you'll show up in a mighty way. Father, help us, Lord, to just herald the gospel. Help us, Lord, to proclaim your word, Father. We're living in the last days. I believe Jesus is coming soon. We're living during sinful times. We're living during times where even family members are falling away from the Lord. And so, Father, help us, Lord, not be respecter of persons this morning. Just rear back and preach. Thus saith the word of God. That's what I want to do, Lord, as long as I'm alive, is to preach your word and try to help man. And I pray, Father, that you bless those watching on Facebook. And, Father, those who may be listening in our live stream, bless the service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Church, if you'll stand with me. Choir, if you'll stand with me. Turn over to page number 177. Page 177, and let's sing, Are You Washed in the Blood?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you once again. We come with humble hearts. We come with troubled hearts, seeing what's going on in this world. Lord, we pray that you will give us the strength and the words to take out into this dark and dying world, that maybe someone will hear, come get under the word and be saved by your grace.
Yes, sir.
We ask you to take this offering, use it for the upbuilding of your kingdom, and we will give you all the honor and the glory and the praise, Lord, in Jesus' holy sweet name.
Thank you.
notice he's had somewhat of an eventful week, and the Lord's brought him back and helped him sit through some things. I've been praying for him this week. Brother David, it's always good when the Lord does something and you're able to be back in his house. And you heard some new hot licks over there on the drums. I don't know if y'all caught that, but I caught it.
Yeah.
He was traveling last night, but he's able to be back with us this morning. Jackson, you're doing a great job, son. We love you, pal.
Amen.
We're very thankful. We've got a great, great group of musicians.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for them. A lot of churches would love to have what we have. Amen. So we just need to be thankful for what the Lord's blessed us with. And, but you pray for us. Choir, if you'll stand with me, we're going to sing an old song that says, I've been through enough to know he'll be enough for me. When I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really try. How he longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valley he led me, afraid as I could be, till I felt his love. Why would I ever doubt a God whose hands over you did work? And why would I ever question his ability? There's no place that I can go where he does.
look like we're flying through service this morning. I don't know. It may just be because I'm enjoying it. It is a privilege and an honor every single time to stand and preach one more time. It is a privilege and an honor. So thank you for showing up to hear what is going to be shared from the Bible each and every Sunday. And I appreciate your devotion to the Lord. And sometimes the preacher, person preaches, changes, and yet you still come, meaning no matter who stands, you're faithful to the Lord. And I appreciate that. You know, Brother Snyder, pastor here for a number of years, and but because of your faithfulness to the Lord and the foundation that you have, you continued here. I appreciate that. And a lot of times when pastor role changes, people leave. Perhaps maybe we've lost a few, but we've gained a few too. And of course, I came up under Brother Berman, and then day came when he wasn't there. Brother Keith has been there, and maybe some have left and some have came, but they've been faithful to the Lord to continue. And I said all that to say thank you for hanging there with me and my family. We're in the month of June, the next month will be 5 years I've been your pastor.
Amen.
And I still have it in my heart. I do checks often to see if God wants me to continue. And we've done too much to not continue as being pastor. We want to continue to be the pastor. We came a long way. We've had a lot has been accomplished since I've been here.
Amen.
And I believe that. You say, well, you're not busting out the seams with numbers. That ain't how you gauge your success at the church only. There's a lot of churches that are busting loose at the seams and pulling out chairs, and God's nowhere near around.
Amen.
You, number one, you gauge the success of your church based upon the fellowship that you have. Gauge the success of your church based upon the spirituality of your church. Is there unity within the church?
Amen.
There's a lot of churches that are big and they're fighting. And so I praise the Lord for the how far we've come in these 5 years. And I praise the Lord for the unity that we have and the love. Someone asked me not long ago, said, Brother Justin, what do you think Calvary has to offer? They asked me that at a lunch table, and I said, we have love to offer. We have love to offer. We don't have 101 programs to offer. Nothing wrong with programs. We are creating programs as the Lord leads. But more than any of that, we have love here. You come into this church, we'll love on you. Yeah. We will share the book with you. And we will be there for you when you're having surgery. We will be there for you in your recovery. We will... This church membership will be there for you during your ups and downs. And in my book, in my spiritual gauge, things have been a success since we've been here. And I don't know when the Lord will call us away from here, but my, and hear me what I say, and don't take it any deeper than how I say it. I want to leave this place whenever it is time to leave this place better than how I found it. And you can take that however you want to take it. A good pastor will leave a church in a good condition. Pastor Snyder left it in good condition. But I want to bring it further than that. And I feel like we have. And I want to continue that. And then whenever that day comes, I want to be able to hand it off to the next man. A healthy, unified church that has direction.
Remember what God told Gideon. You know, he had, what was it, 30,000? He narrowed it down to.
That's true.
And I don't think the numbers necessarily
count everything, and God's word, as long as it's God's word preached. And the Holy Spirit doesn't walk away from us. I mean, five would be enough.
12 turned the world upside down, didn't it?
Right.
Thank you, Brother Harold, for that. All right. Didn't intend to get into all that, but it was on the top of my heart, so it came out. All right, 2 Peter in your Bibles this morning. 2 Peter, chapter number 1. Now, we're not going to finish this morning. We'll finish tonight in our Sunday night fellowship service downstairs. But I do want to say that this message this morning primarily is to those who are saved, to those who know that Jesus is their Savior and they're going to heaven when they die. But on the same token, it's for everyone. That makes sense to you? So this morning, 2 Peter chapter number 1, and in just a few moments we'll read our verses. 2 Peter chapter number 1. We're living in a time in our world where the devotion of many professed Christians is becoming less and less. Some who once were faithful to God and coming to church have found interest in other things. You know I'm right about it. You know I'm right about that statement. There's nothing wrong with other things as long as other things aren't first place in your life. So there are some who've been faithful to God and coming to church, but have allowed the interest of other things to take the front seat in their life, and they're no longer serving God. The world has been having a tremendous impact on the church, while the church should be having a tremendous impact on the world. I think the church has become more worldly rather than the world becoming more churchy. And nowhere in Scripture does it say that we have to become like the world to win the world. And I want to say that you can have any ministry you want, and I welcome ministries around here that God leads and the deacons and I agree upon. I welcome that. But you see, any ministry, anything you have to offer outside of Jesus, it's not going to ultimately be the thing that will win them. Jesus will win them. Jesus Himself. He has a way of speaking to the hearts. He has the way of convicting hearts and drawing people to salvation. And so the world has been having tremendous impact on the church, while the church should be impacting the world. I'm talking about having standards up to level, up to par, and keeping your standards there. I'm talking about sharing Jesus in public. I'm talking about keeping Jesus in His rightful place, first place in your life, so that the world may be impacted by the Jesus in your life. The reason why we're not impacting the world is because for a lot of believers, Jesus is not first place in their life. Many have lost the vision and threw in the towel and have quit on God and have decided to live and find a comfortable place in their misery. There's somebody watching this morning, I'm sure, maybe even someone here. You may be here in person. You may be watching on Facebook. You may be listening and watching, but in your spiritual life, you have abandoned your spiritual life.
That's true.
God is no longer first place. You have tried to find a comfortable place in the misery you're living in. And the reason why you're living in misery is because God's not first place. I think it's time to come to the cross this morning.
Amen.
God was speaking to my heart yesterday, and I want to tell you the number one thing that is a challenge for preachers and pastors is to refrain from preaching hard preaching and to only preach the things that tickle the ears. You don't need your ears tickled this morning.
That's true.
You go to the doctor and you're sick. Don't you want the doctor to tell you you're sick, or you want the doctor to slap you on the back and say, take a couple Advil, you'll be all right in a couple days? No, you want the doctor to be honest. And I told the Lord that I'm going to be honest, and however long He has me pastoring and preaching, I will preach the truth. I will do it in love, but I will not refrain from preaching the whole counsel of God. This morning I want to challenge us all to take control of your spiritual life. I said this message is to those that are saved, but the message is to everyone. This morning I want to preach on that topic, taking control of your spiritual life. Don't you think it's time to stop making excuses?
Amen.
Don't you think it's time to stop having alibis as to why you haven't been to church in a number of years? I think it's time to take control of our spiritual lives. And I'm saying starting with me. I want to take better control of my spiritual life. I want to keep my standards high. I'm not trying to win the world with the world. I'm trying to win the world with Christ.
Amen.
And if we're going to do that, if I'm going to do that, I got to keep the standards high. I got to walk in holiness. I got to be connected to Him. And I challenge all of us this morning to take control. Stop making excuses. Put Jesus in His rightful place and be the fruit bearer He wants you to be. Now this morning, if you have control over your spiritual life, wonderful. And you shouldn't feel bad about having control over your spiritual life. But if it's not under control, I want to say this morning that you are equipped to take control and be the fruit bearer God wants you to be. You can discover your purpose. You can walk in the peace of God. You can walk with a heart full of joy. You don't have to drift off into the world and do the things of the world. Jesus has overcome the world. So this morning, let us take control of our spiritual lives. Here in 2 Peter chapter number 1, Peter tells us that we are fully endowed with ability to live a godly life and escape falling victim to a world full of corruption and be a fruit bearer for Jesus. Peter actually, he says these things to stir up believers so they won't give up or give in but go on for God. Peter actually says, down in verse number 13, yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor, I will try, I will press, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. You know what a blessing was this morning? Peter's talking about stirring up the believers so they'll have them, these things he's going to mention, in their memory, so that even after he's dead and gone, they'll still remember them. I was in my study this morning, which is three or four different places in the house, but primarily our dining room, and I had it on a certain channel, and all of a sudden I heard Charles Stanley preaching. What a blessing. Charles Stanley's in heaven, yet he still speaketh.
Amen.
He made a tremendous impact. He had control of his spiritual life, and his standards were high. He had biblical convictions, and he was serious about his salvation. You want to leave an impact like that, you got to take control of your life. And so I was listening to that and reading this about Peter, and Peter says that I'm writing these things so that you would take control of your spiritual life. You're well equipped. God wants you to be a fruit bearer. So this morning, taking control of your spiritual life. I want to begin reading in verse number 1 down through verse number 9, and then we'll start the message. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That's reading 2 Peter this morning. Chapter number 1, verse number 1, down to verse number 9. I want to mention 6 things. Like I said, we're not going to finish this morning, but I want to start 6 things I want to share about taking control of your spiritual life. And we're going to look at these things line upon line. So we will eventually get to the heart of the message. So let's look at the first line, which is verse number 1. I want to look at the person writing. The person writing. The Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Christ, of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The person writing, Simon Peter. Simon Peter. We know a little bit about Peter this morning, Simon Peter. The first thing I want you to know about the person writing, Simon Peter, I want you to look at his first name, Simon. This is his birth name. This is also his Jewish name. And this name Simon, this birth name, Jewish name, is connected to the circumcision of the flesh. There came a point in time Jewish males had to be circumcised, and this was a token between God and his people, his covenant, that he'll be their God. And so Simon is the Jewish name connected to the circumcision of the flesh. Now he uses another name, Peter. If Simon is his birth name, Peter is his spiritual name. His birth name, Simon, was given by his family, and Peter is his spiritual name given by Jesus. And Simon, that name Simon, is connected to the circumcision of the flesh, but Peter, that name is connected to the circumcision of the heart. In the New Testament, you'll find places where Paul emphasizes, Peter even, that circumcision of the flesh profiteth nothing. There must be circumcision of the heart. Yet, of course, Peter lays this out here with respect to the Jews. We all know what circumcision of the flesh is. Circumcision of the heart is giving your heart to Christ. Is Christ putting in you a new heart? The old heart was taken away. And so Peter, that name, is a spiritual name given by Jesus and is connected to circumcision of the heart. That's how he starts the second epistle. Simon Peter. He's talking about the person before Christ, and he's talking about the person after Christ. He's talking about, even in those two names, he is emphasizing how Jesus changed his life. I want to say, if you say that you are a believer, Jesus will change your life.
Amen.
I understand if you never was a drunkard or a dope addict, you can't go from not being it, from being it to not being it, because you never was. So I understand that. But even those who have the testimony that I was brought up in church, raised in church, thought I was saved, wasn't saved, but eventually got saved. That's a tremendous testimony as well. That is a change also in your life. You're not going to hell anymore. Jesus makes the difference. Jesus changes lives. And we have Simon Peter here. We have his birth name. We have his spiritual name. We have his birth name connected to the flesh, but then circumcision of the flesh, but then his spiritual name connected to circumcision of the heart. I spent yesterday 3 hours in verse 1, Brother Selah. And this is just on his names. Simon Peter. Now notice this. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Listen, we're not over spiritualizing this. It's here. Peter now not only mentions his name, but we see his humility expressed here. He says, I'm just a servant. Wait a minute. We have this ex-fisherman who was strong-willed, proud, and boisterous. I'll take the lead. You follow me. I know what I'm doing. We have this kind of mentality of a man who got saved and Jesus changed his life. And now he has characteristics of humility. And the Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant. There are no big I's and little U's in the family of God. We're all just a bunch of sinners that God so graciously died upon the cross for. And by his wooing and drawing of the Holy Spirit, we come to him and accept him as Savior. The most we'll ever be is a servant. Is that okay with you? The most we'll ever be for Jesus is a servant, and that ought to be okay with every one of us. Some people, if they don't get attention drawn to their name, they're mad. Some people, if they don't get a job in the spotlight in the church, they're mad. If some people get a pat on the back for doing what they've done to help out the church, they get mad. Listen, everything that we do is for him.
Amen.
We are servants unto Jesus. And if this proud, boisterous, hard-headed fisherman says, out of all things, I'm a servant, then we too ought to express such humility in our lives. The Bible said, let us be clothed with humility, like an apron. It's what that phrase means. In fact, I believe Peter is the one who says it. Let us be clothed with humility. So we see Simon Peter here in his servitude. We see his humility. He says, I'm servant, but then He says an apostle. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Apostle here has to do with his calling to service. His calling to service. God called him to be an apostle. What's an apostle? A general idea of an apostle that carries meaning even today is a preacher, a delegate. What differentiates apostles of that day from our day is that they had to be an eyewitness of the resurrection of Jesus. It was at least one qualification. Peter was an eyewitness of the resurrection of Jesus. He was called to be an apostle, a preacher, a messenger. I think it's something that he mentions this second and not first. He mentions this. He mentions his calling. He's an apostle, but he mentions it second and not first because we have a humble Peter. He's humble. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. What's your calling this morning? What's God called you to do? Do you have enough spiritual control in your life that you know what God wants you to do? Have you answered the call, number one, to salvation? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? And if you have, guess what? God wants you serving. Do you have spiritual control enough to discern what you're good at in the service of the Lord? You've got to regain spiritual control to know these things. And we see this through Peter. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, I like how he said Jesus Christ there. Peter says, Jesus is my master. I serve Jesus only. He's the one controlling my life, dictating my life. This loving Lord who would go to a cross and die for me. The one who's given me purpose, the one who's given me power to overcome, he's the one dictating and controlling my life. I welcome that. What is dictating and controlling your life this morning? What is it? And I mean, I'm scanning the audience person by person just because I want you to catch what I'm saying. As much as I know, you got the best control of your spiritual life ever, but I preach it to you like nobody has control. Include myself. What is dictating your life? What's the master? Who's the master in your life? Is just having a good time the master in your life? There's nothing wrong with having a good time, but when good times pull you away from the Lord, it matters. Amen. Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? Is it pills? Is it pot? What is in your life that is controlling you, that has preeminence in your life? Listen, Jesus don't want it there. You don't want it there, my friend. You're spiritually out of control this morning if those things are in the forefront of your life and they have control of you. Peter said, Jesus is my Lord. Peter wasn't perfect, but he strived that he may be more like Jesus. So we see Peter here, the person writing. And he says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, listen to this, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. To them. So his letter is written to other believers that have obtained like precious faith with us. And so he's writing this letter to us. You say, that's not for me. I say, it is to you. Because he says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. This message this morning is for all of us. You say, why are you so mad? I'm not mad. I'm as happy as I can be. I've just decided how I'm going to preach. And at least I've just decided how I want to continue to preach and in preaching, just wide open, preaching the truth. It's for all of us, and he's writing to all of us. Now he says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. What does he mean, faith? Well, he doesn't mean the degree of faith here. He's not talking about a certain level of faith. He's not even talking about the kind of a kind of strength of faith. But he's talking about the object of faith, Jesus, and his benefits. He's talking about justification, sanctification. He's talking about salvation here. And so it says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained salvation. But I like the last phrase. Precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know how salvation is obtained? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, not by no good deed, not by even going to church or getting baptized, but salvation is obtained by the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Accepting what he did on the cross for you.
Amen.
And then one day when you stand before God and he says, why should I let you into my heaven? He'll say, because I have the righteousness of your son in my life.
Amen.
You don't see my sin, you see your son. Well, come on in then, boy. Enjoy yourself. And so, number one this morning, verse one, we have the person writing, Simon Peter. The Bible goes on and says, and an apostle of Jesus Christ to them that obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Let me mention one more this morning. Not only do we have the person writing in verse 1, but in verse 2 we have the pathway to fulfillment. Look at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He tells us the pathway to fulfillment. And what's funny is he's talking to Christians. Those who claim they have fulfillment. Those who claim they have joy. He said, I'm going to show you the pathway to fulfillment as a believer. He says, the pathway to fulfillment as a believer is wrapped up in grace and peace. There's a lot of unhappy Christians I know. They don't look fulfilled to me. Can't find them with a search warrant. But the Christian who is fulfilled is the Christian who has the favor of God upon them, who has the peace of God in their heart and their lives. This is fulfilling for the believer. It's also fulfilling for the lost person that must get saved first. Notice grace. He says, grace. Grace here. God's favor. You can also say the different kinds of grace. Saving grace, sustaining grace, securing grace, serving grace. All these other types of grace. You can say grace here is ability. I just say God's favor. What about peace? I like peace, don't you? Peace here is tranquility of mind, calmness in trials. Does anybody here enjoy going through hard times? You see how it is. Is it just me, or when hard times come, my peace is challenged?
Amen.
Do we all struggle with that? Trying to maintain a peace of mind? Our hearts get saved, but our minds do not. There is a warfare in our minds.
Amen.
I want to tell you, friend, the moment I wake up, I'm exhausted mentally. But I've been learning through the years that it don't have to be that way. If I spring out of bed with the list of things to do for the day, the challenges set before me, the problems of yesterday, I mean, listen, anxiety, a heavy chest, breathing problems. When everybody's drinking their coffee and laughing at Waffle House, you and I are struggling to start our day. But Peter says it don't have to be that way. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. There's different levels of peace. And he prays and he asks God that, that his people would be endowed with more peace, more grace, more ability. Ability to change, ability to stay the course, peace to undergo during hard times, undergo the pressure and to maintain, to lead a family, to be a husband, to be a spouse, to lead people, do all these things. He says, I pray that these things be multiplied in your life. So how is your peace this morning? What about the grace of God? Are you allowing God's grace to work in your life? But notice this, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And so the way that this grace and peace is multiplied unto your mind and heart, my mind and heart, is through a relationship going deeper with God.
Amen.
It's a relationship getting deeper. It's a relationship getting more personal. It's a relationship getting more intimate, not less. If your relationship with Jesus is getting less personal, less intimate, if you're writing the glory days back when God knows when, if you're writing and still writing on those days and you're not seeking getting attention to your spiritual life now, you're not going to have that peace and the kind of God's favor that you need in your life. The moment we step outside the will of God, we step out from underneath the umbrella of His grace and peace. Now, I'm not saying that God won't rescue a person. Don't tell me that. Don't go off and say that Justin said, if you step out of God's will, His grace is not sufficient for you and will not be there for you in your rebellious days. It will be there. But to have the favor, God's provisions, God's blessings, God's peace on you, it's an umbrella that you got to get up underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is this morning, are you underneath that umbrella? You say, well, I've got this and that going on. I didn't mean for it to happen, but it did. And I'm just not interested in the things of God. I know I'm saved, but you stepped out underneath that umbrella. Now, both sets of people, those under the umbrella and those under out from underneath the umbrella, both will experience adversity, hard times. They'll struggle. But the difference is you're underneath His blessings. So that when you do struggle, you do have hard times, His provisions are there to get you through. His peace is there to help you walk.
Amen.
But you step out and you're on your own, I want to tell you, the way of the transgressor is hard. The hardest life to live is a life living outside of God's will. It's a rebellious life. That's the hardest life to live. Christian life isn't the hardest life to live. The rebellious life is the hardest life to live. So this morning we see the pathway to fulfillment. What pathway are you on this morning? What pathway are you on? So we see that grace and peace can be multiplied. This morning we will bring the message to a close right there. I don't want to get into anything else until tonight because I need the appropriate time. I'm not going to be rushed. I spent too much time preparing for this. And so, again, the whole idea of the message this morning is just simply taking control of your spiritual life. We looked at the person writing, Simon Peter, and then in verse 1, and then verse 2, we looked at the pathway to fulfillment in verse number 2. Lord willing, tonight we're going to take a gander in verse number 3 at the power that's been given. Verse 4, the promises to claim. Verse 5 through 7, the push to add. And then verse 8 through 9, the pronouncement stated. So this morning I hope that something was said that was a help and a blessing to you. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for who you are, for what you do, God. Thank you for the message and the things, God, that you have given to me. I pray that you would use them and apply them to the hearts of all the people that are here, those watching on Facebook. And then, Lord, be with us tonight as we complete the message. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. If you need to come pray, you come pray about whatever it is. Remember choir practice at 4 and service at 5, and we will continue on this thought tonight as we go through 2 Peter chapter 1. Anything to mention before we close? All right. We appreciate you. Everybody be safe, and Lord willing, we'll see you back here at choir 4 and service at 5. Consider yourself dismissed. Thank you.
Well, now, my wife is good.
I sit right next to the youth group from Alabama.
Yeah, yeah.